Amen. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John. That's where we're going to be this morning. And praise the Lord for the service we've had already, the fellowship, the music we've been able to sing, and looking forward to reading the Word of God and just seeing what the Lord has for us this morning. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I read a quote the other day that challenged me and stirred my heart. The quote goes something like this: "The Christian life is one of struggle against the forces of evil, unrighteousness, and darkness." And as you read the Word of God, you're challenged and encouraged by some things. But considering that thought, thinking about that quote, I'll read it one more time, and then we'll read this portion of the Word of God, John chapter 15. "The Christian life is one of struggle against the forces of evil, unrighteousness, and darkness." John chapter 15, the Word of God says in verse 18, "If the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." Verse 22, the Bible says, "If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned." They had not had sin. "But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." Look with me one more time in verse 19. The Bible says, let's back up to verse 18 and 19. This is what the Bible says: "The world hate you. You know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." You can go ahead and turn in your Bibles now to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Here in a minute, that's where we'll be. But concerning these verses here, concerning this quote, "The Christian life is one of struggle against the forces of evil, unrighteousness, and darkness," began thinking about the Christian life. Began thinking about the struggle that we face oftentimes, that struggle within our flesh, in the spirit, in the things that are taking place. Reading these verses here helps us to understand that the world is no friend to the Christian. The world is no friend to the Christian, yet oftentimes we find ourselves desiring the things of this world. We find ourselves desiring to go to certain concerts, or desiring to be a part of certain movies and watch certain movies, or desiring to be a part of a certain group. And too often we find Christians who their flesh is saying, "I want this." But the Word of God and the Lord is trying to work in our hearts, saying, "You don't need this." And it's the struggle that we face oftentimes. Each one of us this morning are struggling within our flesh of dealing with something. And as you read the Word of God and you are encouraged by some things, one thing that we understand is when we desire those things of the world and desire to take part in some of those things that the world offers, we're always let down. Never once will you find yourself encouraged by the world, because the world will always let you down. But I praise the Lord for a Heavenly Father that at any moment, at any time, I can count on Him, and He'll never let me down. But there is a struggle within. Many of us have found ourselves desiring these things, and every once in a while, we give in, and we're always let down. I'm encouraged as well to, I've been reading a book by Brother Raymond Barber, and he has, how many of you have ever met or heard Brother Raymond Barber preach? Many of you know he's just got a mind like none other. He's just the mind that the Lord has given him to understand the Word of God and to memorize and all those things is just incredible. But I was thinking about something that he said concerning sin and the desires that we have. And he said this. He said, "We cannot live above the sin in this world, but we can have victory over the sin in this world." He goes on to quote 1 John 5, verse 4 at the end, where it says, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." The faith that he is talking about here is the faith in God, the faith in the Word of God, the faith in what the Lord Jesus Christ has said and done, and that we're able to have victory over the sin. And we think about these things. And in verses 18 and 19, the Lord here, and we reading the Word of God, it says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Many of us can probably talk about the subject of trying to become more like Christ. I'm intrigued by that statement sometimes, and I say it often, becoming the Christian Christ saved you to be, but becoming more Christ-like is really not that hard. It just means you're abiding in Christ Himself. The situation we find ourselves oftentimes, though, is we don't want to abide because that means we have to change some things. And it's a struggle within. It's a struggle that we face. Find your place in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to explain one more quote here as we lead into Ephesians chapter 6 that I pray will be an encouragement to us as we see what the Lord has for us. Brother Barber, as I was reading this book, he says, you cannot be isolated from the world, but you can be insulated from the world. He goes on in his explanation, he says, the man who made your suit may have been an alcoholic, but that doesn't mean you go around walking naked. He says, the man who stocked the groceries may have been a drug addict. That doesn't mean you starve yourself. The car you drive might be designed by a drunkard, but that doesn't mean that you'll walk everywhere. He says, you cannot be isolated from the world, but you can be insulated from the world. I was thinking about this. Many of you know, and I'm not going to get on this subject, I'm just going to mention it in passing, the protests that are going on right now in many of the sports. And many people are boycotting. I'm not missing out on anything because the NFL has never really been interesting to me anyways. And so I'm not missing out on much there. But you see some things that are taking place and people are saying, well, I'm not going to start watching this. I'm going to stop watching this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And you see some of those things that are taking place. And if we were to be honest with ourselves, my brother and I were talking about this the other day, is that very simply, if you were to boycott everything that was against the Word of God, you'd be boycotting about everything. And so he explains in this quote here, you cannot be isolated from the world, because if you were, you'd literally be living in a situation where you have to do everything yourself. You'd have to grow your own groceries. You'd have to make your own clothes. You'd have to build your own car. You'd have to do everything on your own. But he says you can be insulated from the world. Go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible says in verse 11, you say, how do you become insulated from the world without being isolated? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, the Bible says this, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18, the Bible says this, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching there unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're asking this question, how do you battle this struggle within? The struggle within as far as concerning the world and the desires that the world brings upon you, the temptation that you have to do things that you don't want to. The situation where you find yourself desiring all that the world has, and you take a step towards that and you're let down. How do you battle that? The struggle within. As we read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 on down, we see this illustration here, this instruction. As you're reading these things, let me encourage you, the devil may knock you down, but he can't knock you out. You've got a Heavenly Father who's standing right next to you, who can take care of you, who can help you along the way. The devil may try to knock you down, but he's not going to knock you out. As you read this portion of Scripture and you cross back over to John chapter 15, there's a warning there. In John chapter 15, if you're reading and seeing some of what's taking place, you're reading this portion of Scripture. And in John chapter 15, a couple of things are noted. In verse 20, he says this, remember. There's a warning there. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will also keep yours. When you consider light and being a Christian, you are to shed that light. Light and darkness don't go together. You're supposed to be a light into this world. You're supposed to shine a light. You're supposed to share the gospel. You're supposed to be a testimony of the Lord. You're supposed to be a blessing to this world as far as sharing the gospel. And if you find yourself falling into the trap where you are teetering that line of being a Christian but playing with the world, you find yourself winking at the world and flirting with the devil and all that he has, you find yourself doing those things, then there is a struggle within. And in that, as we read Ephesians chapter 6, some verses here, think about some of these things. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The devil is going to attack. He's going to continue to attack. You're going to be knocked down. You're going to be hurt. You're going to find yourself doing things you don't want to. You're going to find yourself falling into the trap every once in a while. But there's a way to overcome this. There's a way to overcome the desires that the world has. And we're going to look at that through the Word of God this morning. And I'm going to pray, and we'll find ourselves in Romans chapter 12. We're going to be crossing through many portions of Scripture this morning. But as we look at three portions of Scripture, John chapter 15, Ephesians chapter 6, and Romans chapter 12, we see some things in the Word of God that help us understand that we can overcome our fleshly desires and finally find ourselves living in the Spirit, find ourselves living for the Word, find ourselves living for the Lord Himself and doing things that He would be pleased with. Because when we think about it, when we sit back, there is a struggle that we all face. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for yourself. Lord, we thank you for what you've done. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Lord, I pray that you would help us and guide us. And Lord, that you would make yourself known this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand the Word of God as we walk through portions of Scripture. Lord, as we understand that there is a struggle that we all face, there's a struggle within. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be faithful to you. Lord, as we read the Word of God this morning, as we study some things concerning the struggle that we have, and Lord, how to overcome this temptation, how to overcome this sin that we keep finding ourselves in. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand that there is a way. And Lord, that it's written all throughout the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you would be with myself as I preach, empty me of self, empty me of sin. Lord, and fill me with the Spirit. And Lord, I pray that you be honored and glorified in everything that's said and done. And we'll thank you for it in the Lord's name. Amen. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 6 one more time as we consider some things on how to overcome this struggle within. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 on down. The Bible says one more time before we get into Romans chapter 12, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I want you to notice these words here in verses 13 and 14 that we're going to come back to. The Bible says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14 starts out with this, stand therefore. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Something that I'm finding, and I've mentioned this in the past couple of times, that I'm finding more and more in this world, is that Christians themselves, we're living as though once we are a saved person, once we have accepted Christ as our personal Savior, too many Christians have found themselves living as though they have a license to sin. As though that they can go through this world and sin and it's okay because they can ask for forgiveness. As though that they can just live like the world and be a part of the world because at the end of the day, hey, we're going to heaven. The Bible says one more time in verse 2 of chapter 12 of Romans, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now notice with me this phrase here in Ephesians chapter 6. He says this, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand therefore." Something that I'm noticing more and more in the Christian life is too many Christians have found themselves living as though they do have a license to sin. As though, hey, I've accepted Christ as my personal Savior, so everything that I do here on forth doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I continue to be a drunk. It doesn't matter if I continue to find myself doing drugs. It doesn't matter if I continue to find myself sleeping around and doing things that I know I'm not supposed to because, hey, I'm going to heaven. And the sad part about it is that, very simply, we don't have enough Christians who are just standing. We don't have enough Christians who are standing. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." A couple of things that I see in the Word of God that we're going to look at this morning on how do you fight this temptation. How do you find yourself saying no to this and yes to Him? How do you find yourself saying, "I'm not going to continue in this sin. I'm going to overcome this sin. I'm going to overcome the wickedness that draws me within," and find yourself becoming holy and like the Christian He saved you to be? I want you to notice the first thing this morning. Don't pattern your life after this world. As a Christian, you ought not pattern your life after this world. Now you say, "Well, what exactly are you talking about, not patterning your life?" Listen, the standards of the world are not the standards of God. You're not going to find yourself walking outside and going to a place that is wicked and saying, "You know what? You've taken a standard right from the Bible." It's not going to happen. When you walk into restaurants such as Chick-fil-A and some of these other Christian restaurants, and many people, listen, the world has tried to get them to fall Hobby Lobby. You think about some of these places, and you walk into those places and you say, "Well, this place is just sharp. The employees are sharp. The ownership is sharp. The things that they do are sharp." It's because they instill biblical principles. You walk into other restaurants and sometimes there's things that you would not agree with. Well, there's no biblical principles there. And so quickly understanding that as a Christian, we not to ought pattern our life after this world. I want us to notice four words in the Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Four words that help us understand what we can do concerning our pattern for our life. Look with me. The Bible says this, "And be not conformed to this world." That word "conform" there, if you were to study it out, is to shape one like another. You think about the molding process that sometimes takes place. When I think about molding, I don't know much about molding, but I have grilled a couple of hamburgers every once in a while, and I know that there's a certain, you're shaping that burger the way you like it. And you take that burger, I'm thinking of food right now, I'm getting a little hungry. You're thinking of that burger and you start shaping that burger into, you know, a thick piece of meat, or you take it and you like little ones, you can do it however. But there's a molding that takes place, a process of conforming. And too often we find ourselves conforming to this world. I was listening to a message the other day by one of my good friends, and he made a statement that was very interesting to me. He made the statement, he says, "Everyone wants the product, but no one wants to pay the price." Convicting right there. You think about parents raising their kids. Everyone wants the perfect teenager, but no one wants to pay the price. Everyone wants the paycheck, but no one wants to pay the price. Everyone wants to have the perfect situation in their life, but no one wants to pay the price. Something that we have found in churches all across this country is that churches all across this country are conforming to the world. Instead of bringing in the Word of God, we've brought in music. Instead of bringing in the truth of the living Word of God, we found ourselves having more and more activities to try to draw people in when there's no depth to the meeting. Something that we have found also in Christian lives is that too often we find ourselves conforming to this world. We find ourselves no longer standing like Ephesians chapter 6 encourages us to do. We've no longer found ourselves standing in the gap. We found ourselves no longer with our eyes fixed on Jesus, but with everything around us. And we start to conform. We're not to pattern our life after this world. Notice with me what the Bible continues to say in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. If you were to study out that word transformed here, it is to undergo a complete change in which manifests in your conduct and your character. A transformation. I remember growing up in a home in which my parents were saved. I remember going to church. I remember, going on activities with some of the kids. I remember going to Christian functions and all of those things. I remember those opportunities that I had. But I never had the true understanding of being transformed until I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I remember putting some of that music that I had listened to and the stuff that influenced me so much on the other side. And I said, I can't do this anymore. I remember getting rid of some friends that were just holding me down and holding me back and that were not the example that I needed. I remember getting rid of some things that would help me or that would not help me in my Christian life. And in our lives, when you find yourself being transformed, you're undergoing a complete change. And aren't you thankful for that change that takes place every single day? That opportunity for you as a Christian, every single day is an opportunity for you to grow and to become the Christian He saved you to be. The opportunity to find yourself doing things the way He would like you to do them. The opportunity you have to, maybe you have a rough day on Monday, but Tuesday is a new day. And the same God that was with you on Monday is going to be with you on Tuesday. And there's a complete transformation. I can't help but think about the song we sang at camp. I don't do the things I used to do. I don't do them anymore. I don't go to the places I used to go. I don't go to those places anymore. All of those things. It's very true. As a Christian, you are to stand in that gap. There are people all across this country who are looking for someone to stand. I had the opportunity to talk to Brother Robert Dodge the other day. He called me on Friday night. He called me and he had sent his daughter, Katie, a text message. And I guess the phone that he had sent it to was Miss Katie's old phone. And so he sent her a simple text message, praying for you, just want to let you know I love you, I think is what he said. Well, he received in a text message back, no one loves me. But thank you, or something along those lines. He said, well, surely this isn't Katie. And so he messaged back and said, I'm sorry, I must have had the wrong number. I meant to send this to my daughter, but Jesus loves you. And the man replies back, well, that's at least one person that loves you. He had the opportunity to just talk to the person for a couple of minutes, and this person is now living in Clarksville, Tennessee. They had moved. The person had gone through some things. I'm not going to share all those details, but had gone through a rough patch. And Brother Robert made one statement that I don't know if it has encouraged this man like I would think it would, but he made one statement, but Jesus loved you. And that man replied back, well, at least I know someone does. He gave me the man's phone number. I pray, and as a church, I pray that we'll be able to be in contact with him, that he'll visit our church. But I was able to contact him, invite him to church. Hopefully he'll come. But aren't you thankful for the love of Jesus? If you go through something and you find where, hey, this person may not love me, this person may not love me, this person may not love me, but Jesus loves you. I remember hearing Brother T.T. Townsend, he was preaching and he was talking to some of the teenagers and he said, there are many teenagers in which he comes in contact with who have never met their parents. And they go to these meetings and they're listening to the preaching of the Word of God, and sometimes a preacher will get up and say, be thankful for your Christian home. And some of these kids don't come from a Christian home. Some of these kids don't have a parent, such as a mother or a father who loves them. And they ask questions like, well, what does it feel like? I don't know who my father is. I don't know who my mother is. I don't know what's all taking place in a Christian home. What is it like? And I've heard him say time after time, you may not know your father or your mother. You don't know if they love you or if this person loves you. You don't know if your aunt or your uncle loves you. You don't know if your friends love you. But every time he says, but the Lord Jesus loves you. And it's such a true statement. And if we found ourselves really grasping how much the Lord loves us, we would not be conformed to this world. And we would find ourselves being transformed. Come on, go with me. Continue looking in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed." Allow that process to take place. Don't fight it. "By the renewing of your mind." You're to study out that word, renew. It is to make something new out of something that is not new. I often think about people who get involved in I guess you would call it, refinishing. And you take an old piece of wood or something and you sand it down and you're finishing it, smoothing it out, and then you put a new piece of stain on it. And you start painting that brush and putting that new stain in, it looks like it's brand new. When you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, there is a renewing process that took place. There is a renewing process that continues to take place. Every single time that you wake up, you take the old man off and you put the new man on. Every single day that you walk through and you go through this life, you take that old mind and you replace it with a new mind. You take that old lifestyle and you start a new lifestyle. You take that old conduct and you put that new conduct in a place. And you find yourself doing things that you need to do. You strip the old man and put on the new. You strip that old mind and that mindset that you have, that negativity about life, that desire to be in the flesh all the time. And you put that new mind on. You strip some of those things in your life. You strip that old lifestyle, that sinful lifestyle where you found yourself doing things that the Word of God says you ought not do. A renewing process that takes place because, listen, we are not to pattern our life after this world. Look with me at the final thing we see in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The Bible says this, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." This word here, prove, if you were to study it out, to discern or to sort out. I remember a question or a statement being made oftentimes as a teenager, and I just never understood it. I would go to either church camp or to special meetings or really just sitting in a regular church service, and a preacher or my pastor at the time would say, "Finding the will of God for your life." And that phrase right there worries so many people, the will of God. Because oftentimes we treat it as though it's a mystery, like it's just out there that we've got to walk through life and try to find it. The will of God is not some mystery in our lives. But when you find yourself in the Word of God, and as we read this portion of Scripture one more time, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Listen, as you find yourself in the Word of God, as you find yourself seeking the will of God, as you find yourself living a holy and righteous life for Him, He's going to reveal the will of God for your life every single day. When Miss Kelly and I began praying about coming to Gateway Baptist Church, it was not something that just was, you know, we just randomly said, "Hey, let's go to Gateway Baptist Church. Let's go on staff here at the church." No, it was something that through time, through prayer, through reading the Word of God, through spending alone time with Him, He gave us a peace about coming here. There was a certain will of God as far as He was showing us through time and through His Word, through prayer together, that this is where He had for us. And it's one of the most precious things is to know that you're in the perfect will of God. But it's not something that you have to be worried about. Even if the Lord puts it on your heart and leads you and you believe it's the will of God to go to some mission field that is dangerous, if it's the perfect will of God for your life, it's the most safe place you can possibly be. You're not going to be miserable. You're not going to be waking up and saying, "I should be doing this." But you'll know that you're in the will of God for your life. Some things that we find in the Word of God as we think about the struggle that we face is, number one, don't pattern your life after the world. God's standards are not the world's standards. God's ways are much higher than our ways. Not only should we not pattern our life after the world, but we should not produce a love for the world. Go with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We could spend much time reading verse after verse and portion of Scripture after portion of Scripture concerning this. But in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it's very simple. It says this, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Very simple. In verse 15, he says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." When you find yourself desiring those things, and you say, "Well, what's going to take place?" Number one, Satan's going to continue to attack you. He's going to continue to try to, show you that this is the right thing and show you that this is the cool thing and show you that, hey, this isn't so bad. You can do this a couple times. It's not going to be that bad. But as you find yourself taking little steps towards the world and you find yourself taking little steps in this sin and you find yourself getting further and further away from the Lord and further away from the Word of God and His ways that He would have for you, pretty soon you'll find yourself having the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You'll find yourself seeing that, hey, I went further than I ever expected to go. Because that's what sin will do to you. And that's what the devil will do to you. And so, you're not to produce a love for the world. Very simply, don't love the world. Don't love the things in this world. The Lord doesn't give this command or this advice here in this portion of Scripture because He thinks that, hey, it might work out for you. It's because He's trying to protect us. There's a certain protection about these things. Don't love the world or the things of this world. There are many times, I was just on the other day, and I was able to see some of the people that I used to hang around. And listen, I'm so glad that I'm not in that crowd anymore. I'm so glad that I accepted Christ as my personal Savior and I started following the right crowd and I started reading my Bible and I started hanging around the right people. And I'm thankful for the people the Lord's placed in my life because the people that I used to hang around are not the right kind of people. They found themselves nonstop drinking and doing things that there's no happiness to it. I know a couple of people that I'm the same age that have already had two divorces. And you know, some of those things. And I know that, you know, I'm not saying some of those things that, you know, to be ugly about those people, but there's a reason. When you find yourself being of the world and in the world and living like the world, you're going to find yourself being hurt because the world's going to let you down. But your Heavenly Father will not. And so very simply, don't produce a love for the world. But then we see this. Don't partake of the things in this world. Go with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Can I remind you of what Brother Brown said a couple of weeks ago? He said, don't handle the holy like the unholy. Don't handle the holy like the world handles the holy. A very simple phrase, but a very true phrase. As we find ourselves in 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. Let me get here real quick. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. Verse 14, the Bible says this. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? This portion of Scripture here, and you could go on reading if you really wanted to and find some things, but very simply, you're not supposed to partake of some of the things. Listen, the world has nothing for me. The things that the devil says, hey, these are great things, this isn't going to hurt you. No, listen, it's not great things and it will hurt me. The world has nothing for us. But the flesh desires some of those things. Listen, every single one of us this morning are fighting some portion of our life where our flesh desires something. Or maybe our eyes wander, or maybe our ears listen to certain things, or something goes on in our life. And it's hindering you, and you're saying, well, how can I fight this? How can I defeat this struggle that I have? I want to encourage you in a couple of things. Number one, don't pattern your life after this world. God's standards are not the world's standards. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Four words that encourage us. Conform. Conform to the image of Him, not to this world. Transform. To undergo a complete change which manifests in our conduct and our character. Renew. Strip the old man. Strip the old mind. Strip the old conduct and put on the new. Improve. Discern or sort out. Don't produce a love for the world. Very simply. It has nothing to offer. The devil's tricks are very simply the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And then finally, don't produce the things in this world. Don't partake in things in this world. But you say, well, what are you saying? Well, how can I do it? It's like this sometimes. If you take something from someone, when I remember going and joining the youth group and being a part of some of those things, and when I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, and I said, well, listen, I got to get rid of some of this music. Well, listen, I had to replace that music with some godly music. And so you're saying, well, okay, if I don't pattern my life after the world, if I don't produce love for the world, if I don't partake of things in this world, well, how can I continue to do this? Listen, pursue to overcome the world. I'm going to give you a couple portions of Scripture. Turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Determine, number one, as you pursue to overcome the world, number one, determine to spend time alone with God daily. Alone with God daily. Spend time with Him. Luke chapter 1. sorry, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint." You go on and you continue reading. And the first thing that we must do is spend time alone with God. Spend time praying. Spend time alone finding yourself just saying, "Lord, what is it that you have for me today? What do you desire for me to do for you? Lord, help me to live a holy life. Lord, this flesh has got me. I desire to partake in this thing. Lord, help me." And you spend time with Him. He'll give you that strength. He'll give you that help. You could go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 if you wanted to, but very simply, you know the verse. But determine to read God's Word daily. Listen, if you're ever going to overcome some of these things, you've got to set some standards in your life. You've got to set some priorities. And number one, priority of spending time alone with God must be a priority. Spending time in the Word of God must be a priority. You can't just expect yourself to memorize the Word of God and to live a holy life without understanding why you need to live a holy life, what the Bible says about living a holy life, all of those things that take place. And then finally, determine to witness to someone daily. Turn with me to the book of Acts. Book of Acts. I was reading and I saw a quote the other day. And it said, "The only substitution for witnessing to someone and soul winning is disobedience." It's convicting right there. The only substitution for soul winning and leading someone to the Lord is disobedience. If you're not witnessing to the world, if you're not sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're disobeying the command of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." That phrase there, "ye shall be witnesses." We could spend more time look at these verses. I've spent much time talking about this, but share the gospel. You ever want to encourage yourself? Share the gospel. If you ever want to reflect on something that'll drive you to become the Christian you were saved to be, lead someone to the Lord. Witness to someone. Find a way to share the gospel. Find a way to tell someone very simply that, hey, Jesus loves you. When Brother Robert Dodge called me and he said, "Listen, I have a number for you," and he told me all those things, that little statement keeps running in my mind. Someone might not love you. This person might not love you. This person might not love you, but Jesus loves you. Listen, that same love that you have, that same love that you're able to experience, share it with someone else. You find yourself the struggle that you face, the struggle that you desire to get away from. Don't pattern your life after this world. It's going to let you down. Don't produce a love for the world. Don't partake of things in this world and produce or pursue to overcome this world. Very simply by determining to spend time with God daily, reading God's Word daily, and witnessing. All those areas of your life can be strengthened every single day. You'll never arrive in your Christian life. Every single day you can grow and become a Christian that He saved you to be. Every single day you're given an opportunity. But it's just like the message we found in Joshua chapter 4 a couple of months back. Sideline or serve, you choose. You're either sitting on the sideline and you're saying, "Listen, I'm going to let them do it." Or you're saying, "I'm going to engage. I'm going to get in the work of the Lord. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to find myself doing what the Lord has for me." And at the end of the day, if you find yourself doing all that God has for you and you find yourself doing the things that the will of God would be for your life, you'll never find yourself being discouraged. You'll never find yourself saying, "Lord, you let me down," because He never will. It's like the song, I've sang it, and we've heard it before, "Jesus never fails." And if I could sing, I'd sing it right now. Jesus never fails. He'll never let you down. Every single day, He'll be there with you. Every single day, it's an opportunity, though, for you to spend time with Him, spend time in His Word, and lead someone to you. Take those opportunities up.